Welcome to Different Ways Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the incredible Ms. Daphne Jones. Daphne, why don't you take it from here?
Hey, Tanya. Great. Thanks a lot for the introduction. And it's great to be here with you all today. I'm down here in Houston, and it's a beautiful, about 82 degrees down here. So we're enjoying the spring weather before the dragon shows up in a couple of weeks or so. And we're in humidity. It's going to be pretty crazy. What I'm here to talk to you today about, I guess, is to introduce me. I'm Daphne Jones, the smart money chick. And what I do is I help families save money, make money, and pay less in taxes. And I do this through financial education. Giving people information to use to improve, for them to live their best financial life. We often make decisions in a void, and we become price sensitive and not cost sensitive when we do things, particularly with our money. And it's the day-to-day stuff affects our future, but don't want to get all ahead on that stuff. So, for instance, if you go to downtown Houston, downtown Galveston, and you meet a couple, and you may ask them, do they have a financial professional? And they'll tell you no. And if you ask them why, they'll probably tell you it's because they have no money, and particularly because they figure a financial professional is going to make them pay up front to talk to them. Well, that isn't always the case. Also, they also think that a financial professional is going to make them go on a financial diet. And the word diet is pretty scary. What they don't realize is that a financial professional, what we're trying to do is to go in to take a look at the totality of what's going on with your money. It's not that scary. And what we generally find is about half of your income is going for living expenses, where you live, your car, food, and things like that. Then about a quarter of your money is going away in taxes, state, local, and federal. I'm blessed to live in Texas, so we don't have any state taxes. And then we've got good old-fashioned debt about the last quarter. And what many people think when you ask them what a financial professional is going to do, they're going to suggest that they cut back on their living expenses. Don't go to Starbucks. Don't go to a movie. That sort of thing. Painful. A diet. But what we know is that dieting doesn't work that long. You're not going to live off cabbage soup or forever stay away from sugar or things like that. So often when this goes on, don't go to Starbucks, don't go to Starbucks, don't go to Starbucks. Oh, I'm thirsty. I go to Starbucks. And so there goes your financial diet. What I do is my form of being a financial professional is to come in and we take a look at exactly what's going on, as we say, about living expenses, taxes, and debt. And we find ways to lower your tax burden and come up with some strategies to remove debt. And then, with that money that's found, I don't ask you to put all of it into a savings plan. Again, a bit unrealistic and drastic. I ask that a portion of it, you put it back into your living expenses. Yes, you go to Starbucks. You do what you like with your money. But you're still saving some. And that's building your saving muscle. Because we have to remember, about 20% of the population has great financial professional help and education about money. But the majority, 80%, do not. The sheriff's deputy who's married to a teacher, your plumber, things of that nature, not so much. And they need just as much assistance as these folks with money, to make a larger income do. Because what we find when you compare those folks side by side, The majority, they tend to make their money through work, which is W-2 income. In most cases, they rent. There may be some home ownership. Again, there's no financial professional to help. And they tend to pay a fair amount of their income in taxes because no one's guiding them as to how to treat their taxes, whether it is right now when they're in their peak earning years or in the future. So well, you may ask, well, Daphne, what got you into this? Well, for the first part of my working career, I was a Marine. I had fun, you know, sleeping outside, running PT in the morning and that sort of thing. So it was a great start. I got out, got married, went to college, and I got a job, pretty decent job. And so we were living the American dream, bought a house, had a baby. It was awesome. Two incomes. And then one morning, I noticed I had a little trouble getting out of bed. Still went on, went to work, things of that nature. And then over the coming days, started having a little trouble with speech. In the end, it took a little bit, but I was unable to work. I ran into what many Americans just fear. What happens if you can't earn? Mine was due to a disability. And not too long after that, the 08 crash happened and my husband lost his job. So we went from your typical American family, you know, 3-car house, 2 cars in the driveway, 2 jobs, to no jobs. And that's when you find out how your financial planning has gone for you or your lack of it. Because one of the main, what's very important in finances, in being economically sound, period, is risk mitigation, is rich risk management. And that's what we often tend not to do as Americans. We just work, we keep our head down, and we hope things turn out well. Now, that's part of being a financial professional, is that to look out, is that I'm here to sit down and talk to you and discuss things with you that maybe you haven't thought about. You go to work, you're a teacher, you're a writer, you're a database manager. You're not reading the latest on what's going on financially or keeping up with some of the recent tax laws and things of that nature. That's what a financial professional does for you. Now, I'm not saying that I cover all areas. Of course I don't. But I am aware of what's going on, and I've got resources and associations that I bring in to help with my customers, my clients, whether it's helping possibly loan an electric bill or credit restoration or things along that line. Hence, that's why I call myself the smart money chick. I just want to get you to think about what's going on with you financially and what plans do you have for your future. I get together with my clients and I talk to them, and we don't just look at what's going on today, you know, the ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, but we actually dreamcast. I ask a few questions and I let you talk. I let you tell me what's your plan. Are you living in your dream house? Are you driving your dream car? Do you plan to send your kids to college? Do you plan to pay for it? Or do you just, I'll be there if they need some assistance along the way, but they're going to pay for the bulk of it themselves. Those are the sort of things that a financial professional can help you with. Those are some of the things that I can help you with. Now, another one of the things I want to cover before we lose time is the ABCs, 1, 2, 3s of money. And the first one is how money grows. And you've got 3 different ways here. You've got fixed, which is like bank accounts, CDs, 401 plans, 401ks. No, I'm sorry. Where your money is liquid. I misspoke. checking accounts, CDs. Great places to put your money to hold it because it's liquid there, but your money doesn't grow very well. It's pretty steady. The other place to place your money for growth is directly in the market. Now, thing about the market is you've got growth, but you also have troughs. Now, you hope over a period of time that your growth is on an upward trajectory, but timing is really important. I mean, it would have been great if you were retiring in, say, 2005 and the market's at a peak, but you would have a bit of a trouble if you'd waited to do so in 08. The market's had a pretty good run up so far, but once again, market timing is pretty dangerous to count on as far as retirement or sending your kids to school. Very useful. There's a place for it, but it has to be manageable. Then another way for money to grow is called indexing, where money grows, you reach a particular point, it's capped, but when the market falls, there's no loss. These are called index accounts. If you think these don't exist, pick up your phone and go to Google and type in Warren Buffett Index. And you'll see one of the best investors in the world just gush romantic about index funds. They're great. They're low cost. And they're great something to have in your portfolio. The next thing, once you make some money, is how your money is taxed. It's taxed in three ways. It's taxed now, it's taxed later, or it can be what we call tax advantage. Now, taxed now, especially those of you all who have W-2 income, who have jobs, you see it every time you pick up a paycheck. You're taxed right then. Or when you go to the grocery store and you're paying state sales tax. Tax later usually comes up when we're discussing 401ks, 403bs, or IRAs. You put money into these plans, tax-free, but then you're taxed upon your withdrawal. The money grows tax-free, but you pay taxes when you take the money out. In other words, you're taxed on your harvest, not the seeds. Now, I'm not here to bash 401ks or 403bs. They're very good. They're very useful savings programs. They offer something what I call blind savings, which is great for a lot of people. Where the money is taken away before you can put your hot little hands on it, and you don't have access to it. And that's a savings program. And that's better than the guy who doesn't save at all. But we also have to realize that with 401s, 401ks, and 403bs, you have restricted access to the money. If you do take the money out before you're 59 and a half, not only do you have to pay the taxes that weren't previously paid, but you also have to pay a penalty. These programs are helpful if you're being matched. That's free money. I would always give up to the match. But again, you have restricted access to the money before 59 and a half. And when you take the money out, you're taxed. And let's just say things go well, that real estate investment that you made paid off, and you don't necessarily want to touch your 401k. Well, at the age of 72 and a half, you're going to have to. The government requires you to take the money because they're going to tax you anyway, whether you actually physically take the money out of the account or not. They're going to tax you. And taxes can be pretty important in retirement when you think you're going to have X amount of dollars and you find out that you could be 20 to 30% less. Because of how you're being taxed. Well, we've found in calculations that we've run that the taxes that you avoided to paying, say possibly 20 years previously, you end up paying those back within the first 5 to 7 years that you're withdrawing from your 401ks. This is standard. So, as I said, it's instead of being taxed now, you're being taxed later. Now, going back to those index accounts we discussed earlier, when they're inside of a life insurance wrapper, the withdrawal from these funds is tax-free. So the money has grown within the savings account, tax-free, without being taxed. And more importantly, it's being withdrawn tax-free. And you can use it for whatever you want. There aren't any restrictions as to age. You don't have to be 59 and a half. You don't have to be 59. They can be used for multiple things, saving for college. They're not restricted like 529 plans where the money has to be used for college. There's no tax. You're not being taxed when you take the money out. They're a pretty useful program. So mixed with that, as I said, how money grows, either fixed, variable, or indexed, and then how you are taxed is going to affect your retirement greatly. You can choose whichever program mixture you like, one, you know, A and one, B and three, or whatever you decide. But those are the things that a financial professional will sit down and discuss with you. What can cover and what's out there and how the new changes affect you. So as a financial educator, that's my job. That's what I keep up with. Also, this month is, according to Congress, Financial Literacy Month. And at this is when you might want to take a couple of things in mind as to how you're handling what's just going on with your money in your life. Might be a great time to be considering a money makeover. Debt management, to start to create an emergency fund. Exactly, how's the cash flow? Are you interested in becoming part of the gig economy, picking up a side hustle? Properly protecting your income, say with life insurance, also disability. Remember, you're more likely to need disability benefits before the age of 35 than you are your family needing a death benefit before you turn 35. We've already talked about building wealth. And then there's estate preservation. You know, do you have a will? Do you have a power of attorney for medical purposes? Things like that. All that's part of the total financial person that you are. So it's pretty important. And that's one of the things that a financial professional, those are among the things that a financial professional want to talk to you about. So we do serve a purpose. And I'm one you can reach. I've got a landing page that leads to my other social media presence at tsmchick.com. That stands for the Smart Money Chick. tsmchick.com. We can set an appointment to talk over the phone or meet in person if you're here in Houston. We can also meet online on Zoom. And I know I've got about another 9 minutes, but I can be open for Q&A if that's possible. Tanya,